Okay, Alexander, we did a video for this yesterday, Friday night. Today it's Saturday. And we were kind of going through the possible reasons that the Ukraine airline, the 752 UIA 752, crashed. And of course, we talked about the missile strikes, talked about a possible terrorist attack. We talked about technical failures. We talked about a drone, perhaps. But today we have a confirmation that via Iran that it was indeed a missile strike, an accidental missile strike that shot down UIA 752. And let me read you the title, Alexander. Let me share the screen actually with you and read you the title via RT. And here we go. I wish I was dead. Senior IRGC commander accepts responsibility for downing Ukrainian jet, says it was mistaken for missile. The commander of the Aerospace Force of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Amir Ali Hajizadeh, said he wished he was dead upon learning of the Ukrainian jet downing and accepted full responsibility for the incident. After hearing about the crash of the Ukrainian plane, I wish to die, Hajizadeh said during a press conference on Saturday. I wish I had died and not witnessed such an accident. The commander explained that the incident had occurred as the country was bracing for potential U.S. strikes and that the likelihood of conflict between the two nations had been unprecedented since the Islamic Revolution of 1979. According to an early assessment, the Ukrainian plane was erroneously identified as an incoming cruise missile, which resulted in the tragedy. All right, Alexander, first of all, what do you make of the report that Iran did shoot down that UIA plane?
Well, if you go back to the live that we did a couple of days ago, when we were just off talking about, the fact that there'd been these Iranian missile counterstrikes, and we said at the time that those looked like they were very carefully rehearsed and programmed strikes as not to kill Americans, and we were getting the report that this aircraft had been shot down. I did say, in fact, several of us said that, the coincidence seemed remarkable that this aircraft should have been shot down, or rather should have crashed in the middle of such an incident. And that really did point to something more than just a technical fault or human error on the part of the aircraft and its pilots. It did look as if it was caught in some way or in some form in some sort of crossfire situation. Now, I think that is essentially what happened. I think the Iranians have some questions to ask themselves. I think that perhaps with hindsight, it would have been wiser if they delayed allowing airplanes to leave their airport at all. The fact that there were Iranian civil and Ukrainian civil aircraft flying through Iranian airspace in the middle of a conflict with the United States, I think was a mistake. And I think that that's my view of what is probably the major cause of this incident. I think that the Iranian commander, apparently he made a 10-second decision. I can understand why he made it, but I think clearly there were breakdowns in communications between the various parts of the Iranian military. But I think overall, and most importantly, they made a mistake in allowing aircraft to be flying over their airspace at all. I don't think there will be any political consequences from this. I think the Iranians have admitted responsibility. They've explained what happened. They have cooperated fully, as I understand it, with the Ukrainians in investigating the crash of this aircraft. I predict that this will be the end of this episode. They will now take certain steps, which we actually discussed in the video that we did yesterday, but we will now see those steps, I'm sure, be put into effect, and I think that will draw a line under this affair.
All right, hold that thought, Alexander. Let me play a piece of the video we did yesterday, which we did not publish because it's irrelevant now that we know the cause of the plane's downing. But I pulled out a 2-minute clip where I asked you the question, what happens if Iran did shoot down that plane? with a missile. And I'm going to share you the screen with that video and you can comment. It's about a 2-minute video and you give your response as to what Iran should do if they do admit to shooting down that missile. After investigation, they do find out that they did accidentally shoot down, sorry, missile at that plane and admit to it. And here's the video, Alexander, and you can comment afterwards.
But as I said, I predict, by the way, that we will have an explanation from the Iranians and the Ukrainians within a fairly short time. That's my guess anyway.
Very quickly, if it is a missile strike, does that mean anything? If it was a missile strike via Iran, does that raise stakes in any way?
If it is a missile strike by Iran, then I think Iran ought to make a straightforward clean breast of it and pay compensation. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, I am sure it was unintentional. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, why would they want to shoot down a Ukrainian aircraft? It was it would obviously have been done in conditions where the Iranian air defenses were on very high alert because of the conflict situation with the United States, and it would have been clear that it was just a terrible mistake. But you know, let's be very clear, that's not a theory that we are endorsing. We simply don't know.
Right. I'm just asking the question, given what happened between the U.S. and Iran, if it was a missile strike from Tehran, if that kind of rekindles some of the tension.
Absolutely. Exactly. Well, it could. It could do. I mean, I can very easily see in such a scenario people like Pompeo and Bolton, who's still there, even if he's not national security advisor anymore, going around saying, you know, this proves that the Iranians are trigger-happy maniacs and psychopaths, and that this proves that they are, you know, a very dangerous, barbarous, wicked country which should have its a regime changed. But, I mean, they will say that. I mean, there's no question about it. So will Netanyahu and the Israelis, and probably many people in Saudi Arabia. Well, it will be very difficult for Iran, and it will be embarrassing for Iran, but it would not be a good reason to attack Iran. And I think the Iranians themselves, as I said, if they handle it properly, they can mitigate any problem that causes for them.
Okay, Alexander, in that video clip, once again, that we did last night before we got confirmation today, this morning, as to what really happened with UIA 752. In that clip, you specifically state that if it was a missile, if Iran did use a missile to shoot down that plane, they should compensate the passengers. They should admit it openly, compensate the passengers, and then deal with the fallout. You also, when I asked you if this could rekindle some kind of tensions with the United States, the fact that Canada, there were a lot of Canadians on that plane as well, if this could create some more conflict between Iran and the West, you said it's possible, given the fact that you have people like Pompeo, who are still Secretary of State, and people like Bolton, who, even though he is not in the Trump White House or the Trump administration anymore, does have a lot of his people embedded within the Trump White House. So would you like to comment on that as well?
Well, I think the Iranians are now doing exactly the things that I was discussing yesterday. I mean, they've taken the first step. They've admitted responsibility. They've admitted it was their mistake. They've emphasized that it was an unintentional shoot down. And I've no doubt that is true. I've absolutely no doubt about that. Whatever, by the way, they have no reason to shoot down an aircraft like this intentionally. And they've involved the Ukrainians very closely in the accident investigation. They've maintained close links with Ukraine. I've no doubt that we will be getting over the next couple of days offers of compensation, quietly made firstly to the Ukrainians, whose airline this was, then to the various families of the passengers, together with all the expressions of regret and sorrow that we are hearing today. And I would add that, yes, there were Canadians on that plane, but most of the people, most of the passengers, seem to have been Iranians or Iranian nationals. And a lot of that compensation, I suspect, will be paid to people within Iran. Ukraine, the Ukrainian aircraft was flying to Iran, partly because increasingly Western airlines are tending to avoid Iran. So more and more Iranians, when they fly to countries like, you know, Europe, or indeed, you know, North America, they have to fly through Ukraine using Ukrainian aircraft. So this is why I think they will undoubtedly want to pay compensation and will want to compensate the families. There will be a political fallout. Some people in the United States will try to make mileage of this. You will see all sorts of people saying, you know, this proves that Iran, you know, is this violent, murderous country that kills people in the air. I think that overall, this was nonetheless the correct response. Far better to make a clean breast of what happened, accept responsibility to the extent that at such a thing is possible. It pulls the rug from underneath people like Bolton and Pompeo, who will nonetheless try and make mileage of this. Inevitably they will. But I think all reasonable people will respect Iran more for what it did today.
Okay, Alexander, let me share you another article via Zero Hedge to add some more context to the story. The army said Ukraine International Airlines Flight 752 was flying close to a sensitive Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps military site when it was downed because of human error, adding that the culprits would be identified and referred to judicial authorities. Iran's armed forces went on high alert following U.S. threats to target Iranian sites, the army said in the statement. Under such highly sensitive and critical circumstances, the Boeing Flight 752 flew close to the sensitive IRGC military site at an altitude and angle that made it appear as a hostile target. The plane was hit due to human error and unintentionally. In the aftermath of the incident, Rouhani arranged for compensation payments to the victims' families and ordered reforms of the country's air defense system to prevent similar disasters in the future. Iran will reportedly send the black boxes of the crashed jet to France, as it lacks the technology to decode them, the state-run Islamic Republic news agency reported. All right. UIA Flight 752. If I did say 751, I apologize. It's UIA Flight 752. Alexander, what do you make of that statement from the Iranian military?
Well, already, can I just point out, already there you have information that the president of Iran, Hassan Rouhani, has ordered compensation. So that's what I predicted would happen yesterday, and it is happening now. Now, as far as the rest of what we heard or what we read in that report, I mean, it's entirely logical that this aircraft, you know, clearly was misperceived, was misidentified by the Iranian air defense system as some kind of hostile element. Now, I have to say, there is clearly a major communications breakdown here. Firstly, it seems that the aircraft was operating under the control of Iranian air traffic control. So it was Iranian air traffic control which presumably positioned it close to this IRGC missile base, this sensitive target. So that was clearly a mistake, and it's clear that this wasn't operating, that there was a major breakdown here. We've also learned that, you know, a commander of the Iranian air defense system was apparently unable to communicate, presumably with Iranian air traffic control, within the time necessary to change his decision. So again, there's clearly some kind of, you know, major snarl up and error and breakdown in the systems here. But I come back to my initial point. What the Iranians have done, making a clean breast of this, paying compensation, sending the black boxes to France, all that is well and good, but they need to take away some important lessons, the most important of which is obviously they need to integrate and sort out and unscramble the clear problems that there are within their air defense system. But the most important thing they should do is they should not have civilian aircraft flying over Tehran at all, when they find themselves in a conflict situation with the United States. Obviously, their air defense systems were on high alert on that night. That is entirely understandable. But precisely because their air defense systems were on such a high alert and were in effect, you know, on a split second decision situation, they should not have had civilian airliners flying over their capital city and their country, and indeed near to their own air defense systems and other sensitive military targets. That was clearly a serious mistake, and it again points to a breakdown in communications between the Iranians and their civilian air traffic control infrastructure. I gather, by the way, that there were complaints of some of the passengers that the flight of the aircraft had been held up or been delayed, and that there was all kinds of issues there. I'm afraid if you get those sort of complaints, you disregard them. People's lives are at risk in these scenarios, as we have seen, and the Iranians allowing aircraft to take off at this incredibly dangerous moment not only killed a lot of people, but brought shame, as we've seen this Iranian commander admit, political embarrassment upon themselves, and death and pain to the victims, both the people who died and their families. So, you know, you've got to sometimes take clear-cut and tough decisions, and they need to sort out their protocols and be much more tough on them than they have been before.
Right. I agree with you, Alexander. And let's wrap up the video with tweets via Rouhani and Zarif. Here is Rouhani's statement via Twitter. The Islamic Republic of Iran deeply regrets this disastrous mistake. My thoughts and prayers go to all the mourning families. I offer my sincerest condolences. So that is Rouhani, Alexander. And let me pull up Zarif's tweet as well. From Javad Zarif, a sad day, preliminary conclusions of internal investigation by armed forces, human error, a time of crisis caused by U.S. adventurism led to deaths. Apologies and condolences to our people, to the families of all victims, and to other affected nations. U.S. adventurism, he does take a little bit more of a political jab there at the U.S., where I think Rouhani was just more straightforward.
Yes, I think
with his statement.
I think he does. I mean, he's the Iranian foreign minister, so I mean, he's got to represent Iran, in foreign, to foreign countries and at the United Nations, where, by the way, the United States has prevented him from going because they denied him a visa, which is appalling, by the way. But that's another story. But anyway, he's got to represent Iran abroad. And he wants to remind people abroad that this was a tragedy brought about through the actions, as he says, of the United States. I mean, it was who killed General Soleimani, assassinated General Soleimani. Iran reacted, and then there was this, that put Iran on very high alert and made the Iranians feel that they might be in an imminent military situation. So he wants to remind the world of that. Rouhani is addressing the people of Iran, of whom he is the elected president. So, as you correctly say, this is a more straightforward statement admission of fault. And let's remember again, and Zarif makes that point, most of the people who died on that plane were Iranians.
Okay. So there is no more mystery surrounding Flight 752. We know exactly what happened now. And the world's going to deal with the consequences.
The world will deal with the consequences. As I say, some people will make mileage of this. The United States will make all kinds of statements about it. Some people, not the United States, but some people in the United States will make a mileage of this. But, I think the line will be drawn. I'm going to make one little point, which is, of course, way back in 1988, the United States, the USS Vincennes, which is a US warship, in the Persian Gulf, shot down an Iranian airliner, and which he mistook for, I think it was an Iranian missile or an Iranian, military aircraft, which is going to attack it. But that aircraft was shot down, that Iranian aircraft was shot down over Iranian airspace. And the US did not apologize. And though it admitted a mistake, it did not apologize. And the commander who took that decision was decorated. Now, I hope the Iranians don't do anything foolish like that. I mean, this man has made the person who was in charge has taken responsibility. He's admitted mistake. He's apologized. There has to be a proper investigation about what happened. Clearly, it was more than just unavoidable mistake. Things that should have been done were not done. And I do hope some people are punished. And once that's happened, I think all reasonable people will draw a line under this affair.
Yeah, I mean, it's stunning that they actually let a commercial airliner take off under those circumstances as to what was going on. You start from there.
Absolutely. I mean, that is, for me, the founding error in this whole saga. In some ways, I put far less blame on the people who were controlling the missiles and their commanders than whoever it was who took the decision to allow civilian aircraft to go on flying over at Iran, and Tehran especially, at a time like that. I mean, that was clearly a disastrous mistake. And lives have been lost in consequence. And whoever was responsible should, I think, face the consequences. And whatever systems failed need to be looked at and corrected so that nothing like this ever happens again.
All right, Alexander Mercur, Editor-in-Chief of the Durant, thank you very much. I hope this video wasn't too bumpy. We are actually streaming this directly to YouTube. Yeah. No editing, no processing of the video, no rendering, nothing, so that we can get breaking news out to you guys at a much faster rate, because these stories, we're doing videos for these stories, and then the next day we'd have more news that came out that sometimes would contradict the stories, sometimes would add more context to the story, and we couldn't really keep up. Of that, we did a video last night kind of analyzing the situation and thinking that we may get some sort of news come Sunday, maybe Monday, and the next morning here we are.
Indeed.
We understand what happened, and so we decided to pilot out a kind of breaking news video stream that will go directly to YouTube, and then we can just click the publish button and it'll be online for everybody to see. The problem with that is that we can't, edit the videos as nicely as we usually try to. And so there may be a little bit more delay in sharing some of the research that we have and putting up screen shares and stuff like that. But let us know if you like this format in the comment section down below. Of course, subscribe, click the notifications bell, SoundCloud and iTunes for audio copies, Patreon, PayPal, subscribe, start to donate to the channel. We still have the DRN 20% discount running as well. And download the Telegram app to keep up to date as to what's going on. And Alexander, yes, the magic
mug. Yeah, we magic mug the shop.
One more quick announcement. NSW Rural Fire Services in Australia, please don't forget to pick up an ebook. 100% of the proceeds from that ebook will go to the NSW Rural Fire Services to help them fight the fires in Australia, Alexander.
Indeed, so absolutely. And I should say, I actually went to a poetry reading the other day, and there was a young man from South Australia, and he actually read a poem out about the fires, the bushfires in Australia, which is most moving. It's the story that we can't really cover in a video because it's so far out of our range of expertise. So instead, we are trying to help the people involved in it by committing to them all the proceeds from the sales of our 4 ebooks, which you can find on our shop. Those ebooks, I would remind people, one is on Brexit, one is on Russiagate. The 2 new ones are on Ukrainegate, the scandal, which is a scandal about nothing, which is getting all the publicity. and Epstein, the Epstein story. The other one's about the Epstein story, which is the massive scandal where lots of crimes have been committed, lots of victims have suffered, and yet it is the scandal that gets very little publicity at all. So those are our four ebooks. You can find them on our shop, and all the proceeds go directly to the firefighters in Australia through this fund that Alex was talking about, which is supports the firefighters there. So that's what, you know, we've decided to do. That's our way, if you like, of covering this story, which is frankly a bit too far outside our envelope for us to cover it properly, though we do understand the immensity of what is happening in Australia. And Alex has reminded us all that DRN20, the discount on all the products in our shop, is still going. So we got all those famous products that we talk about so often. We got our Duran Magic mugs, you know, the ones that, you know, I drink tea and coffee and hot chocolate and beer and champagne and all those products from. It's all that's, you know, there. You can buy them there. You can buy our shirts, cotton shirts, 100% cotton shirts, like the, you know, short sleeve t-shirt I'm wearing, or you can buy long sleeve t-shirts, or you can buy polo shirts, or you can buy hoodies or hats or stickers, all of outstanding quality. DRN20 is the discount code. It's still operating, that's still running for the moment, not for very much longer. So you can go to our shop, find those things. You can support the Duran by going there. You can buy yourself these great things, and you can support the firefighters in Australia. So this is our first try at doing this sort of thing. I hope this video has worked and it's been informative for our viewers.
All right. Alexander Mercouris, Editor-in-Chief of the Duran. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.